If your life is given in service to the Emperor, your death shall not be in vain.
Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Thursday, August 20th, 2020. This is episode 76. Once again, recording a bit later on in the week, I'm actually going to consider making Thursday now my standard day for recording and releasing. Namely with work changes and stuff once again, but things might change again because, well, we keep losing people and it kind of keeps fucking with my schedule. So, but it is what it is. There's more than just work, admittedly, beyond that, but it's definitely been an obstacle. Thank you. Goddamn. I don't know why I'm thanking myself for coming up with the word I was trying to think of, but thanks, me. But yeah, it's just become a bit more of an obstacle. Just real life stuff in general, really. So, but yeah, so for right now, I'm going to probably, at least, you know, last week and this week, Thursday, I'm going to think about it over the weekend. But starting next week, I'm going to probably switch to Thursdays. I don't entirely want to switch to Thursdays, admittedly. Man, we're just kind of jumping right into just ranting, but whatever. So, sorry. Anywho, I don't necessarily want to switch to later on in the week, admittedly, because GW puts out so much new stuff, usually on weekends, and so I don't want to wait too long to address those things. But honestly, it's just becoming a bit of an issue trying to fit it in during the week. I don't want to stop doing the podcast, though. I really don't. Even if it's become a little bit trickier to do in the time frames that I want to do them. But like I said, Thursdays overall, as of right now, look to be what should be a better regular time frame. So, but for now, we'll just, well, as usual, play it by ear, fuck it, do it live, Bill O'Reilly style. So, but let's go ahead and just move on. What's going on in my neck of the woods? Well, we kind of just jumped into a bunch of shit there anyways. Beyond that, I have been working on a lot of hobbying as I can. I haven't had a whole lot of time still, once again. Things have just been chaotic, and when I do have time, I've, you know, got, you know, I guess I should say when I have time is when I'm home. And when I'm home, I'm either asleep or busy doing IRL things. But, you know, it is what it is. I have been trying to fit in as much hobby time as possible, though. No game time recently, but I have been actively building and primarily painting. Yeah, I'm actually trying to paint stuff, as opposed to just, you know, letting my pile of shame continue to grow and grow. I did manage to pick up the Sister Tarion Apollos figure, or actually rather my sexy lady Krista managed to go pick it up for me, because scheduling wise the store got it shipped in and I just really wasn't able to get out there myself. She did tell me it was rather interesting. She was telling me she went in there to pick that model up for me, and was actually considering shopping around in there for my birthday, even though once again I already got Indomitus. I told her I don't need anything else. She's determined that she wants to get me more stuff because apparently she's awesome and likes me for some silly reason. But she was telling me when she walked in there that the place is basically barricaded. You can't browse or anything like that. There's just a counter set up basically at the door, of a sorts, and you just tell him what you want and he goes and grabs it. You know, thinking about that in terms of everything that's going on, there's part of me that's like, you know what, I totally support this because too many businesses and stuff right now, not to get all super, you know, deep down the rabbit hole here on pandemic whosamawatsits, but a lot of businesses either are just staying closed or they don't seem to give a flying fuck and are doing whatever the fuck they want. And, you know, there's problems with both directions, realistically speaking. But this does also seem excessive in many ways, because there's a lot of businesses, I would say a majority of businesses, are still open and doing things in such a way where they can both be in business and safe at the same time. This almost seemed excessive, but, you know, and it did prevent her from buying further stuff. You know, she had told me blatantly that if she'd been able to shop around, she was going to look for things, but because she couldn't, she didn't know what else she really wanted, and so she called it a call. Oh well, it is what it is. But yeah, just found that kind of interesting as a side note there. But yeah, beyond that, like I said, haven't been doing any gaming, unfortunately, still. Man, I'm hoping to change that soon. I need to build some more stuff, though, for that purpose to happen, namely because all we've built so far for her are her knobs, and we got some stuff at my dad's house still, and need to go out there anyways to pick up some stuff that came in the mail. So hopefully we'll pick that stuff up soon, build up some more of her orcs, and we can actually sit down and have something to discuss as far as gaming goes. So beyond that, that's about it. Work sucks, and I'm busy, and I've been trying to paint, but, you know, finding the time can be a bitch. So, but let's go ahead and move along into the news and stuff here. Once again, not a whole lot this week either, namely because of the fact that GW has a preview coming up this weekend. So there should be plenty of things to talk about next week, but there's just not a whole lot of new meat and potatoes to talk about this week. For those of you who live in the eastern United States like myself, the Twitch show will start at 8:45 a.m. this Saturday, with the live blog starting at 9 a.m. No idea what they're going to show off. They have specified, as far as game systems go, you're looking at 40K, obviously, in Age of Sigmar, but also Underworlds, Horus Heresy, Warcry, and Necromunda. So they've been having this really big push with Necromunda lately, actually. They have been showing off with House of Blades and a bunch of other shit, all sorts of cool stuff. As to what that means, whether they're really doubling down on Necromunda lately or not, I have no idea. But I have this feeling, like, with everything that they've been pushing this week and the past couple weeks so far with Necromunda specifically, that we'll probably see some extensive amount of stuff this weekend for the preview. I would guess that 40K is still going to take the show above everything else, just with so many leaks we've been having lately about all sorts of new rules and stuff like that. I would imagine that that's going to likely be addressed, probably showing off some new models and whatnot there too, or at least maybe release dates, because right now we've got a lot of new models that we know of in the pipe, but we don't know anything about release dates or anything along those lines. We do know that there's two new codexes coming out, and those are supposed to be out in October. So safe to assume that that's when a bunch of the new models will also launch, but don't know 100%. So, but, yeah, so that's the big news there as far as the weekend goes. One other interesting side note, if you are someone of the, writing persuasion, GW is opening up open submissions at the Black Library, specifically to the Warhammer Horror line. If you are interested in giving it a shot, you have some time to get yourself going and writing. Looks like the submissions window opens on Monday, the 19th of October. So you got some time to start writing now. You got about 2 months before, actually almost 2 months to the day. In fact, I think this was announced yesterday. So in which case, yes. So it would be 2 months to the day as to when they announced it. Yeah, if you haven't checked out any of the Warhammer Horror books at all, they are really good, most of them. I think I mentioned that before. But not all of them are 100%, but Quite a few of them are very good. And, yeah, if it's something of interest to you, definitely check that out. And if you are interested in trying your hand at writing for the Black Library, this is a good way to do it. Assuming horror is your thing. If horror is not your thing, maybe you want to wait. So, but yeah, beyond that, there's just not a whole lot of new official news. They've once again shown off some new stuff for Necromunda, but and for Blood Bowl, both games of which I'm not familiar with enough to really delve into in full detail. But there's some pretty cool looking models they have coming out for Necromunda, I will say that much. And while we're on the subject of Necromunda, I wanted to throw out that September 8th on PC, PS4, and Xbox One, I believe, Necromunda Under Hive Wars will be being released. So if you're familiar at all with the Mordheim City of the Damned game that came out quite a few years ago now, it's made by the same people, same concept and everything, just go ahead and put it in the 40K. But yeah, and if you haven't played Mordheim, I would say definitely check it out. It's a very, very well-made game overall. Ton of fun. So I'm definitely looking forward to Underhive Wars. So, and one other note, I'm going to take it back a step to the whole Black Library thing. I did forget to mention that I did check out the, Bloodlines, I believe was the name of the book, from the Warhammer Crime series. And I have to say, it was a pretty enjoyable story overall. You know, it definitely had some interesting twists and turns here and there. I really enjoyed the writing. It did evoke a sense of being more crime-like and everything else. And it was interesting, too, because usually I think of Warhammer crime type stuff. I think of Eisenhorn or Ravenor, you know, Inquisitor books. But this was actually just dude man, police officer, detective type guy doing his whole thing. And, you know, it did a pretty good job of having that feeling of that gritty detective drama sort of aspect to it, while still feeling, you know, appropriately sci-fi and 40K. Like, there were times when I was, you know, listening to it, because this is the audiobook that I was listening to, there were times I was listening to it and going, I didn't think it was bad, but it just kind of got a little dragged out in certain parts, and then other parts felt the opposite, where it was like, well, that kind of came and went a little too fast almost. But it is what it is. I think it's still worth checking out. Overall, I am looking forward to more of these books to see, you know, kind of where the series goes from there. It wasn't bad enough to make me not want to listen to it at all anymore or check it out ever again, but wasn't good enough to just sell me right up front like, this is fucking amazing, you know. So, but like I said, I think it's still worth checking out either way. But yeah, so that's about it for the whole news and who's and what's its thing. I'm gonna take a quick little break. When we come back, we're gonna discuss some more regarding the leaks and stuff, kind of expand upon last week's conversation as far as the Space Marines specifically goes. A few extra thoughts after reading some other articles and whatnot, some things that came to mind that I hadn't thought of. So, but yeah, so gonna take a quick little break, hear from the sponsor, and then I'll be right back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I discussed shortly before the break, I kind of wanted to revisit some things from last week a little bit, actually. Namely, last week we had been having a bunch of leaks regarding upgraded Space Marines and stuff. And GW came out and said, yeah, that's true. And there's a bunch of other shit getting some major upgrades. We've been seeing a lot more leaks since then. All sorts of primarily Space Marine stuff. But we've also seen some Necron stuff showing off Immortals, getting a boost to their toughness. They're also getting an extra attack. The Gauss Blaster is getting an extra range to it, so on and so forth. So we're getting some, you know, upgrades. Lich Guard are getting plus one attack. Praetorians are getting plus one attack, plus the upgrade to both the Rod of Covenant and Particle Caster. And then that whole big overhaul to death marks before as well. So all sorts of cool new stuff, and not just Space Marines, but once again, primarily Space Marines. And I kind of wanted to actually talk about that specifically. So as far as the Space Marine stuff goes, we've been seeing some new leaks regarding upgrades to the Redemptor Dreadnought, as well as some upgrades to the Hellblasters and Primaris Impulsor as well. A lot of weapons upgrades is what we're mainly looking at right now in comparison. Let me actually pull up the Hellblaster squad specifically just to kind of point out some of these details here. So with the current Hellblasters, they currently are, they're pretty, you know, pretty powerful, pretty capable units anyways. But right now you've got your Assault Plasma Incinerator, 24-inch range, 2 shots, Strength 6, AP Neg 4, 1 damage. And then obviously you can do the whole overcharge thing to bring it to strength 7 and 2 damage. Heavy plasma incinerator, it's a 36-inch heavy 1, strength 8, neg 4 with and 1 damage, becoming strength 9, neg 4, 2 damage with the overcharge. And then lastly, the standard incinerator, 30-inch range, rapid fire 1, strength 7, neg 4 AP, 1 damage, upgrades to strength 8, neg 4, 2 damage. What we have shown now is most of the weapons are pretty similar to what they were before. In fact, actually, both the heavy and the rapid fire one seem to be exactly identical to what they were before. Mind you, though, these leaks don't show anything regarding special rules and stuff, so there may be something more there that we're not aware of. But the big thing is the assault ones. They are being upgraded to a 3-shot unit as opposed to a double shot. I would say, I mean, overall, yeah, you lose 6 inches of range compared to the standard one. You also do lose a point of strength in comparison, but putting out an extra shot is definitely nothing to scoff at all. Very, very powerful capability, you know, because as we all know, having one extra point of strength, it can make a difference in certain situations, but generally speaking, it's not that much of a change. It's more when you're shooting at something that it's your equivalent to and being able to, you know, or just below. Basically, unless you're going to change that tier of your roll up, it's not really worth the overcharge or the extra point of strength in comparison for the weapon itself. That being said, adding a whole extra shot, just like adding extra attacks and stuff, like how Primaris right now, that's their only main difference from what we're hearing that they're going to do with Tactical Marines, is Primaris do get an extra attack in close combat. But that can make a huge difference. admittedly, I don't know how many guys in the squad can have the assault version and stuff. You know, I don't know if it's going to be the same or different from the current setup in the 8th edition rules. The 8th edition codex for Codex Space Marines. But on the assumption that you could have a full squad kitted out with these, getting one extra shot per model can make a huge difference. It can make a massive impact. That plus one strength in comparison and the 6-inch extra range, yeah, that's nothing to scoff at. But generally speaking, 24 inches is usually more than enough to, you know, get your point across to the enemy, especially when we're talking about matches being played on smaller fields at this point with 9th edition. So there's a lot more potential, I think, with this upgrade to the Assault Incinerator specifically. We're once again also seeing, you know, the mentioned before, this upgrade to Redemptors. Two, getting a bunch of changes, looks like being made to their data sheet as well. And we already, once again, knew about the Terminators and stuff. And it's part of why I actually wanted to readdress this issue from last week is currently we were kind of all looking at last week's announcements as, ooh, classic Marines are making a comeback, but why would I want Primaris then when, you know, they're more expensive, and all I'm really getting is, you know, a bonus attack out of the whole thing. I believe that's all the difference was, if I remember correctly. So yeah, why should I want to go Primaris at this point? There doesn't seem to be a point, but I was reading an article earlier today that brought up some very interesting points, and after thinking upon it myself, I think I got to agree that in general, this whole thing does kind of make Tactical Marines still less worthwhile. I think that in a weird way, the boost to the stat has actually made it so that Tactical Marines are less useful. Namely because of the fact that GW has raised their points. Now, when they switched to 9th edition, they already raised their points once, but they're raising them again by giving them the extra wound. This article points out that while GW last week was like, yeah, it's they're getting a little bit of a points bump, but it's only 20%. No, realistically speaking, it's actually closer to 50% from what it was pre-9th edition. We haven't even... 9th edition has only officially been out for a month, roughly. Not even quite a full month yet. So you're seeing, this interesting comparison factor of having their points go up once, and now, they're getting this bonus wound and stuff, but if their points are going up again, are they really cheaper? And long story short, is not really. They are technically cheaper overall, but once you add on the necessary upgrades to make them more viable and so on and so forth, you're really not getting that much more out of them, if anything. They're far less points efficient is what it boils down to. While they are also upgrading the Humble Bolter to get a 30-inch range, by the looks of it, versus, the Bolt Rifle that the Primaris have already has that 30-inch range, once again, it would look like, well, why not go Tactical Marines? They are technically cheaper, and you're still getting the 30-inch range, and so on and so forth. But with Primaris being able to, A, put out shots that have an AP value on them versus, the standard Bolter, and also when you're looking at that extra attack per model, they just are more points efficient overall. They're able to put out more offense for a very, very, very minimal extra charge. Now, if Tactical Marines were going to be more along the price point of what they announced them to be when they launched 9th edition, that would still, kind of make them more viable in comparison, that maybe you would want to go with Standard Marines over Primaris. But that's just not the case here. I think overall, what you're really seeing here is GW, in a strange sort of way, kind of making it sound like, the old school Marines are coming back, making them more viable and stuff. But realistically speaking, they're not. What I've seen proposed by some people in comments and stuff is that it's GW trying to push the sales on old school Marines to try and clear them out so that they can, discontinue them. That I don't know if I buy. Personally, I think GW is putting an awful lot of work into not only rebalancing them to the game, but putting out new boxes with new box art, with new rule sets and so on and so forth, all included. That seems like a lot of work for something that you're just planning to go ahead and, squat within, a short period of time. So I think eventually GW will pull out of the old school Tactical Marine game. I don't think that, today is that day by any stretch. But I can foresee that GW's trying to, push towards trying to sell a lot more of the old school Marines. Now, granted, personally, I think they should work on getting rid of the old school Marines altogether. Namely, yeah, I know a lot of people have huge collections of old Space Marines, and that's namely why GW is trying to probably avoid giving them the axe already. But the fact of the matter is that the Space Marine Codex is already severely bloated as it is. And now they're not only going to be releasing a new codex with upgrades that make that bloat even worse by giving you options that are actually viable. Once again, relatively speaking to what they were before, as far as what's still going to be the most efficient and most viable option, that isn't looking necessarily to be tactical Marines. But what I think you're going to see is that a lot more people are going to be left going, man, I am spoiled for choice here. And then on top of that, they're going to be putting out a shit ton of new models and everything else as well. In many ways, I think you're going to be seeing this codex basically be two codexes just crammed into one. You know, codex, you know, old school Marines and codex Primaris Marines all slapped together. And now maybe eventually GW will separate the two, so people who do want to play old school Marines can do that. People who want to go Primaris can do that. And you don't have to have this giant tome that you have to, you know, slog through to find all the stuff you want specifically for your particular build that you're going for. But that being said, it doesn't really affect anything either way. If you got extra stuff in the book, you got extra stuff in the book. But I think from a manufacturing perspective, GW probably would prefer to try to pare down the range just so that they can focus more money onto the specific things that are making them more money. But as long as they've got shit tons of old school followers, or just simply if they're sitting on a bunch of old kit in the warehouses, you know, for all we know, then they probably are looking to move them more and faster. So, but yeah, I feel like overall, in a strange sort of way, that whole buffing them in order to keep them balanced to the game, in order to make it so that they're not like the obvious choice versus the Primaris, in a strange way, they end up making them less worthwhile. From the article I was reading earlier, with these new points changes and stuff like that, an equivalent number of Primaris Marines would be like 110 points versus 100 points for the same amount of Tactical Marines. Once you throw in very specific upgrades and things of that nature that make them more worthwhile. Which was another thing that was brought up in this article too, is that, you know, Primaris are not as tactically flexible within your individual squads versus Tactical Marines. Tactical Marines, you can arm them with, you know, you can put in a heavy weapon, you can put in a special weapon, and so on and so forth. So there's some more flexibility as far as armaments go. But the way this game works, in general, you're generally better off having specialized units. You know, you're generally better off putting all of your heavy weapons into some sort of squad, or namely a vehicle, that takes advantage of all those heavy weapons. Having a squad that has one guy who's armed with a multi-melta and the rest of them are all running around with bolters, you know, when they want to move up, then that multi-melta is going to lose some of its oomph and capability. Mind you, they are changing the multi-melta up, as we talked about last week, enough where, you know, that might be less of a concern for you, maybe, maybe not. But yeah, the tactical flexibility of putting heavy weapons or special weapons within a squad is not usually as good as it sounds. It does depend on the weaponry and stuff, particularly assault weapons, such as the assault incinerator we were talking about earlier. Those are, generally speaking, good choices for a squad to have as an upgrade. But throwing in heavy weapons into an infantry squad arbitrarily is not as nice of a change overall. So, yes, Tactical Marines are technically more flexible war gear-wise, and they are technically cheaper. But when you actually add up a full squad, give them the kit you want them to have, and so on and so forth, you're not really getting extra models out of it, you know. Back before they made all the points changes to the tactical Marines, you could field a lot more of them than you could Primaris. And that was kind of what sold them as still potentially viable if somebody wanted to have a Space Marine army that was larger, you know, not horde style, because you're still not really going to get a horde out of Space Marines in comparison to like Orcs or Tyranids. That's just the nature of the Codex itself. But you would see more people that wanted to have like a little bit higher body count anyways versus like Adeptus Custodes or something like that, where it's super low body counts, super mega elite. And Space Marines were meant to be more pretty elite, but not quite that hardcore as the Custodes there. If you're looking for more of a horde style, but still want power armor and stuff, Sisters of Battle offer a lot more in terms of overall Codex build and stuff versus trying to go old school Marines specifically, at least in my opinion. The Marines Codex is just bloated to fucking back. But in comparison, I just feel like the Sisters of Battle Codex just offers a lot more overall flexibility and a lot more interest too. So long story short, I would have to agree with this article, like I mentioned, that the upgrading them to the two wounds, giving them the buffs they're giving them, but in turn raising their points, they're actually now worse off overall in comparison. I feel like GW may have benefited more maybe from keeping them cheap altogether, you know, maybe not change their points values to begin with, and you know, raise the costs of Primaris Marines and stuff. I feel like that would be a better balance overall between the two. Leave the old school ones fairly, you know, weak and stuff like that, but keep them cheap. And the problem where, admittedly, is that you just weren't seeing as many people focusing on them or using them as much because of the fact that they just weren't as good as Primaris. But had GW given them the same buffs but not raised their points, they probably wouldn't been as good overall. That they would have made it Primaris not as good, and that would be bad for their business model. You'd have a lot of disgruntled people who just bought a shit ton of Primaris that are like, oh, cool. Now I wish I hadn't gotten rid of my old tactical Marines and switched everything up for Primaris shit. And GW very clearly wants to sell a lot more Primaris kits. That's very clearly the direction they're taking this faction, is towards squatting the old and upgrading everybody to Primaris shit. But once again, as far as when they officially bring down the axe and just, you know, call it a day on old school Marines, I don't think that's going to be happening for a bit. So, overall, like I said, I thought that was an interesting article. I just kind of wanted to address that in a strange sort of way, by buffing them, they were left in a weird position where they either had to up the points, in which case Primaris then become better for points efficiency. Even if they're more expensive, they're more efficient in comparison to tactical Marines. Or leave their points alone, in which case Primaris get screwed over, and therefore people are not going to want to buy them or play them or anything else. So I think overall, if you've already got a collection of tactical Marines and you just want to play with what you have, this is great news for you specifically, just because you can, you know, be a little bit more viable with your older army and older models. But if you're somebody who's chasing the meta at all times, or maybe you're thinking about getting into the, you know, playing Space Marines and a little undecided on whether you want to do Primaris or old school Marines or whatever your reasoning may be, if you are not currently sitting on a stack of old school Marines that are just collecting dust and you don't have Primaris yet either, and don't have the money to invest in the Primaris, then fine. I think this is great. This is a nice option and a nice upgrade for you. But if you're looking, like I said, if you're looking to start the faction or whatever else, I wouldn't spend your money on getting the old school Marines. At least not until we see more. Maybe once the Codex drops, we will see like all sorts of special rules that make Primaris and Tactical Marines have enough individual flavor from each other and that there is a valid reason to mix and match or even to choose Tactical Marines over Primaris. But it's going to be a very, very fine line for GW to walk to make sure that Tactical Marines remain worth buying and, you know, viable, while at the same time not screwing over the Primaris in the process, and vice versa. Although one would say that they've already screwed over the old school Marines in the first place, this attempt to fix it, whether it's actually effective or not, it's hard to say. So, but I think that's about it for today. A little bit shorter episode. Once again, we're kind of waiting to see what this preview holds this weekend. Hopefully, we'll have a lot more to discuss next week. So, but as always, thank you guys for listening. You know, head on over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast. You can hit me up on Patreon, patreon.com/theRegimentalVox. And you can also follow me on Twitter, @RegimentalVox. And yeah, if you have any thoughts or feelings about this whole Space Marines leaks and stuff like that, whether you think Tactical Marines are going to be, you know, a better choice personally, you know, by all means, I'm always happy to talk shop, you know, with anybody who's not just full of shit and just saying, oh, I want this to be like this because I said so, you know, there's a lot of that going on all the time, but anywho. Like I said, we're going to call this a call. Thank you guys for listening. I will catch you on the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.